Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to Freaky Fridays, part of the Podmoth Network, the podcast where we talk about all kinds of scary, spooky, and freaky shit. We're your hosts, Michelle.
And I'm Melissa. And tonight, we're going to be talking about a couple of things.
Yes. We have a full agenda.
Yes, we do. Kick it off with the 2022 Scream 5. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be telling you a tale of the strange tale of the Italian bride, the Ooh. Haunting story of Julia Bucola Petta from Illinois.
Julia Guglia? Ooh, I can't wait. I'm excited. Never heard of that.
Me either. But when we decided to pick a state and look up a strange story, this one popped up. And because it's Italian and it's a bride, I just thought it'd be kind of fun to check it out.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. I want to thank my coworker, Steven, for shouting out our podcast on our team Zoom meeting.
Nice. Thank you.
Where now everybody knows about Freaky Fridays. And I think we gained 2 more followers. Hey. So hi, Gary. Hi, Steven. Hi, Steven R. Maybe 3 followers.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. If they listen and they get this shout out, they better tell me so I know that they're actually mm-hmm. listening.
Because if they know that we know
that we know that they know, and we know that they know, everybody knows.
Salud.
Salud. All right. Well, first off, so we previously discussed Scream 1996, which we obviously were very giddy about and mm-hmm. loved.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite movie.
Yes. And besides the follies of terror that we had meeting up at Bakersfield.
Oh, man. What a night. It was quite an adventure for being together less than 24 hours. It was just,
right?
it was a strange, strange night.
Yes. We get to Bakersfield.
Yeah.
We both drive four plus hours.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, we're that crazy and we wanted to get together and see each other and watch Scream. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, just so everyone knows, the reason we met in Bakersfield is it's a halfway point for us and
right.
a friend of ours that lives there. And so it's a chance to see her and can all go together and hang out,
right.
You know, so she recommends a theater. They have a bar. They'll bring drinks to your seat.
They got recliners. We have our fluffy blankets. We're all set for this.
Yeah.
You prepaid for the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great old time right before we were going to the movie theater. We got the lift. We get to the movie theater and they tell us that the screen is broken.
Yes. No, I didn't get an email, not a text, nothing. And they had all the information because you prepay for your tickets now to pick out your seat and the whole jazz. And
you couldn't throw us a bone?
Yeah.
We've been drinking champagne all day.
Yeah. Hence why we lifted there and didn't drive.
Because we're responsible.
Then they tell us, well, you have 2 options. You can get a refund or wait for the next showing. Oh, great. We'll wait for the next showing. And luckily, Michelle in that moment was smart enough to say, well, are there seats available in the next showing, which was an hour away? And he said, oh, let me check. The only seats available were the front row. No fucking thank you.
No thanks.
I'm not a 5-year-old who can sit there and sit in the front row with my neck craned and not strain my eyes or my neck and my back.
What? My neck and my back. Why do they even have front rows?
I honestly don't know. I don't get it. That whole front row those seats could be taken out and they could have extra snacks down there.
Ooh, extra snack. I like that.
It could be a better, you know, escape route. Should a fire erupt, mm-hmm. you'd have easier access running, you know, crazily out throughout the theater. Like all kinds of things. You could dance.
I have
I mean, it would leave so much room for activities.
So much room for activities.
Nobody wants to sit in the front row. And if you do,
no,
you're a psychopath.
Go sit in your front row and go to the chiropractor after. Have a great freaking time.
So we decide collectively, the 4 of us, that we will get our money back and find a different theater.
Minus $7 in fees.
Yeah, fuckers didn't give me my fees back. Mm-hmm. That's not my fault your screen broke. Right. That pissed me off.
Yes.
So Michelle gets online, gets us more tickets. We have to call another Lyft, mm-hmm. which is going to take time to get there. We're waiting 10-15 minutes later, whatever. Michelle's like, oh, he's pulling up. Let's go outside. And that's when just complete chaos erupted. Right.
So our lift gets there. It's a little like Honda, and it's four girls. And for some reason, this lift decides that he can't take four. He can only take three.
I think, was that a COVID thing?
I have no idea.
Because he had plenty of seatbelts. It's not like we were lapping it.
Oh, I didn't know that there was a seatbelt in there. But either way, like, Lyft doesn't say only four people or only three people to this. You can get one for five, but you can't. There's no, like, restrictions on a normal quote-unquote Lyft.
Yeah.
So we're talking with him, like, debating, well, we didn't see that on the Lyft and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, Nikki, my sister-in-law, your sister, walks around the other side ready to get in, fully exposed to the street in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And some guy does not like that we're blocking the area in our Lyft. And he tries to zoom around a car.
And mind you, we're in a parking lot, people.
Yeah.
It's a two-way.
Wait 2 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
So he hits the car and it's like window and glass and something flying and plastic.
Sparks were flying.
They zoom off and Nikki gets hit, but we didn't know it at the moment. She starts running towards them like she's going to fight them and like call her back. I'm like, Nikki, get over here. Are you okay? I wasn't laughing though. And she had gotten hit with something, and luckily she had a big chunky beanie on and a big,
because it was freezing,
poofy jacket to shield her from whatever hit her.
And then she went into shock.
Yeah, I would have too. And luckily you were there to like help, because I was like running around literally like in circles with my head cut off. I was like, I don't know what to do. I was walking back and forth.
It's like the only time that my anxiety goes away is when someone else needs me and I go into a different mode and I don't think about.
Maybe you should be a police dispatcher.
Oh, God, no. Mm-mm. No. Not in your wildest dreams. Is that ever going to happen? So
I'll have to admit that is not my wildest dream.
I'm telling you, those two cars had some sort of beef going on before that parking lot, the way they chased after each other. And they had to have been going 20 to 25 miles an hour. I mean, it was literally feet next to us. Like they were flying through that parking lot. Like that's fast for a parking lot.
Yes. And it was unnecessary. And they went up on the curb and there was just this loud like noise. I swear I thought it was gunshots. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
The guy lost his whole front end. When Nikki went in shock, she said you called her name and she like snapped out of it. She said she thought she had got shot. Yeah. She was shot by something because her skin hurt, like on her, because her, you know, from like going to get in, her shirt kind of lifted up a little bit on her back and she could feel her back burning and like something hit her head. And which I'm sure was obviously some sort of plastic or glass. I mean, that shit's, you know, splatters when it's hit that fast and at that speed. And then we get her calmed down. We check her out. There happened to be an EMT going into the movie theater. She comes over.
Yeah, thank God.
She takes her bean, you know, she's checking.
Luckily there's no cuts or scratches or.
No. And she like, you know, kind of composes herself and she's saying like her head hurt really bad, but she gets it together. And at this point, the Lyft driver, I think, feels bad. So he's more than happy to put the four of us in his little car now. But the whole he's damn like, time in the car, here's my poor sister who thought she had maybe been shot or had something thrown at her out of the car. And he keeps telling us to check on her because she could have internal bleeding. And I'm in the middle seat, or I think I was in the middle seat, and I'm like poking on Jamie like, oh my God, fucking like, Pedro, shut it.
Shut up. And his name was Pedro.
God bless him. I think he was trying to be helpful and comforting, but like.
Yeah, I think he was a little in shock too, because he was like, what just happened? And yeah,
I mean, he was right there on that side too. Like, I have to be honest, I was nervous to get into someone else's car after that and ride to another movie theater, because the whole thing just felt so surreal. And I was like, oh God, I wish we had our own car here right now. And it was like, you know, we're riding in his car and my sister's like sitting there with this shocked look on her face. Her head is hurting. Fucking Pedro won't shut up about internal bleeding and how we might need to take her to the hospital. And I'm just like, I just wanted to see my best friends and the movie that I love and just have a good evening. And it was such a fucking shit show.
And it's like, do we want to get in the car and go to the movie? I mean, we've already missed one screening. Now we have to take a lift to the next one. Is it wrong to get in this lift and go and see a movie after all this has happened? But this was our main point of getting together, like seeing each other, going to see the movie.
Driving 4 hours to see a fucking movie. And then the next movie theater doesn't even have a bar.
Which it highly needed.
We're stuck with soda and popcorn.
And then we see the movie.
And this is where the real disappointment begins, my friends. So,
right. I think I'd rather get hit in the head again.
I mean, I am telling you.
What a piece of crap.
Was that a sign from the beginning to not,
right?
Like, you guys are going to be disappointed. Like, the universe was trying to say, we're trying to keep you from being disappointed. Yeah. Don't see this movie.
Save your $10, go home and keep drinking and watch the original.
I mean, I don't think we're going to give anyone spoiler alerts because I don't think we're going to really go into depth on this movie. But
yeah,
for me personally, it did not feel like a Scream movie.
Correct. I agree.
Granted, Wes Craven was not on it because he, rest in peace, is no longer with us. The killings, like you said, the killings were good.
The killings were gory and inventive. And
yes,
the visuals of them were very, like, we were talking about how Casey in the original gets gutted and it's just very, like, graphic. And
yeah,
that part was good. Personally, we just didn't like it.
Nikki and I were talking about how, for me, and I know this is going to sound strange because it's a horror movie, but all of the Scream movies for me felt very dark and intimate, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
This one was mostly shot during the daytime, which is unlike most Scream movies.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
There was only maybe two nighttime scenes, the hospital and the kids' party. Mm-hmm. Other than that,
it felt very the new Halloween. It felt just like that. Like, overly cheesy.
It felt cheesy. And the storyline, I think...
Reaching. I thought it was reaching.
It was. I get the storyline they were going with. Mm-hmm. I think they could have done a way better job. And I mean, it's kind of hard for me to talk about this and not give a spoiler alert. So, spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear anything about this movie, turn it off now.
Yeah.
The fact that they have Billy Loomis's long-lost daughter, right? Mm-hmm.
And they kind of glaze over how she comes about.
Like, well, her mom and dad had sex. That's how she came about.
But, oh, is that how?
No, but Michelle, when a man and a woman love each other.
Is it like the birds and the bees? Birds and bees have sex? Well, who did he have sex with? Like, it's never clear. Like,
oh my God, a bird having a sex with a bee would be so traumatizing to that bee. I mean, the size differential is like massive.
It's like those dog mixes that you're like, what? A German Shepherd and a Chihuahua? How is that possible?
I feel for you. I do. I get what you're saying. Like, the storyline was very rushed and they just sort of brought it on and didn't give enough info. My feeling was I liked that idea that they brought, that finally one of these people has a kid. Granted, he was in high school and we knew nothing about it. Mm-hmm. But my thought was that could have made it better would be that his daughter came back to sort of avenge his death, but in her own psychopath way.
Right.
That she was also a psychopath and that she wasn't trying to save people, that she was like, haha, I'm just like my dad. I'm going to kill. You know what I mean? Like,
that could have been a good, even if it's predictable, I think it still could have been a good, more scary.
It would have been scarier.
Yeah. Because
I wasn't even scared with this movie. I was not scared.
Not one time.
Not one time. And it's funny because I was reading people's reviews online and I don't know if these are like Gen Z kids or what, but they were like, oh, best one yet. What a great movie. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I wanted to be like, you fucking little dumbasses. Have you even seen the original? I guarantee you half those kids in that movie theater that we were at hadn't even seen the original.
No, they weren't even born yet.
Because I could hear some of them talking like, well, how was that person? And the other person's like, well, this is so-and-so. And it's like, did you even see the other ones? Why are you here?
We're so like protective of this movie series. Is this a joke?
So disappointing. I can't say it enough. It did not feel like the Scream franchise to me. It was so far from all of the other movies. And I'm not even a big fan of the second Scream. I like it. It's not my favorite out of all of them, but I would watch that any day over this. I mean, it just wasn't Scream material. It did not meet my expectations. It let me down quite a bit.
I'm surprised it got so many good reviews and it did so well in the box office.
Yeah. Probably because there hasn't been really too many good movies out in the movie theater. People are getting back to the movies and a good scary movie. Yeah. And
a way to get out of the house.
Yeah, I just feel like what a disappointment to that whole franchise.
And Courtney Cox's lips, I couldn't, it was hard to watch on the big screen.
And she's had the filler taken out.
Yeah.
I was also disappointed that the three that came back were not in it very much and that they killed one of them.
Yeah.
Sorry, spoiler alert, but they do. And I didn't like that.
Right. Like that was also like kind of the favorite character.
Yeah.
It was really disappointing. So after all of that, the whole night, I was really looking forward to the movie kind of changing the night around. And we get out of the movie theater and I was just like,
I didn't want to get into another car.
Well, I don't blame you.
I didn't want to have to get into another Uber or Lyft. I just wanted to like
click your heels and be home and in bed.
Yeah. And I know for people who are just listening to this, it may not sound like it was that big of a deal, but when a car accident happens literally
right in front
of your eyes, like just feet in front of you. And also, we didn't really elaborate on this too much. The car that hit the other did not stop, kept going. Right. And the car that was hit, when he was able to get his car down off the curb,
zoomed off.
He was pissed and took off. And I, in my heart, and I know this is because I've been traumatized by things, but I thought they were going to start shooting each other.
It seemed like it.
That's just how it felt.
I agree.
It just was a lot. And then the movie being said, it was just such a weird, I don't know. Yeah. It was so weird. And the movie let me down. And now I'm feeling like if they do come out with a six, which they should, because it's supposed to be trilogies, I don't know that I want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I will, but I won't.
I won't make a big to do. Yeah. I'll wait for it.
I'll wait for it to like stream at home.
Yeah.
Now we should have stayed in Jamie's backyard and streamed it had we been able to.
We should have streamed the original and just stayed in her backyard on her.
I know.
On her big screen projector thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really disappointing. I'm just happy that there was other good things, like we got to get together and see each other. And
absolutely.
Every 28 days, we have to get together and see each other. So
anyone listening, if you have seen it, please let us know what you think of it. If you plan on seeing it, just, I don't want it to detour you from going to see it, because I feel like everyone needs to have their own opinion when it comes to a movie. Right.
Even terrible movies, when people say, don't see
it, I never listen to reviews.
Well, I need to see it now because I want to make my own opinion.
I want to make my own opinion.
It's interesting. All three of us felt the same way.
It's just funny that we went from talking about the original, so excited, know all the lines, like love that whole franchise. And then this happens and it was just
womp, womp.
It was like a sign of the fucking times we've been in. Just a fucking letdown.
Stay home.
Yeah.
Just fucking stay home.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we're not going to dedicate a whole episode to going through spoiler, like massive spoiler. Mm-mm. No.
Hey, podcast lovers. My name is Haley and I run the Don't Identify podcast. I have been passionate about helping the unidentified get their names back ever since I found out I lived within miles of where Sherry Ann Jarvis, formerly known as the Walker County Jane Doe, was found. In my podcast, I tell the stories and provide information about unidentified people in hopes of reaching their loved ones and getting their names back. So come join me and help me advocate for these people. You never know, you could recognize someone's story.
I can get into The Italian Bride.
I am super excited to hear about this. You know that Illinois, I visit my friends out there that are like my family every, at least once a year.
My mom was born in Illinois.
Right. So I have a strong connection to the state.
And the thing about the story is it's not like, ooh, it gave me shivers, creepy. It's just, it's odd and it's creepy in a different kind of sense.
And I haven't heard of this, so I'm interested to find out.
I hadn't either. It just, for whatever reason, the title, The Italian Bride, just spoke to me, so.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so again, this is the haunting story of Julia Bukwila Petta in Hillside. So this takes place in Hillside, Illinois.
Okay.
It's just outside Chicago.
Oh, okay.
In it's the Mount Carmel Cemetery. Okay, pause for a second on this.
Okay.
I never know. Because Carmel and Carmel are spelled the same way.
Right. Lifelong problem. Thanks, American English language.
I mean, it just makes more sense that it'd be called Mount Carmel and not Mount Carmel Cemetery. But
well, I thought the treat, like
Carmel
sweets, they should be caramel. They shouldn't be Carmel.
No, it should be C-A-R-A-M-E-L. Caramel.
If it's a dessert treat.
Yes, but I still don't call it that. I still say caramel.
Me too. I'm just saying it should be.
It should. Yes, I get it. Okay.
Let's petition. I'll write a letter later. I'm busy right now.
So at Mount Carmel Cemetery, this is the final resting place for people such as Al Capone, Dion O'Bannon, and some other notorious Chicago mobsters. And it's also the burial place of a woman named Julia Bukwala Peta.
Is that the full last name?
So Peta was her married name. Bukwala was her maiden name.
Gotcha. Okay.
So even though her name doesn't really spring to mind as a part of Chicago history, it does for those intrigued by the supernatural, because she's better known as the Italian Bride. Julia's grave is marked today by a life-sized statue. The statue is unbelievable. A life-size statue of the unfortunate woman in her wedding dress. It's a stone reproduction of the wedding photo that is mounted on the front of her monument. And we'll get into that in a minute.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
Because I need to see this.
Yeah. While it's a beautiful monument, there is nothing about it to suggest anything weird ever occurred in the connection.
Yeah.
However, once you hear the story behind it, you sort of soon realize that it's one of the weirdest tales of Chicago's unknown.
Okay.
So Julia was born June 6th, 1891 in Italy. Mm-hmm. Her father, George, passed away in 1913, and her mother, Philomena, immigrated to the United States with her daughter. They traveled to the west side of Chicago, where three other, this part was a little bit confusing. I couldn't quite figure out this, but three other Bukwala children, Henry, Joseph, and Rosalia, were already settled in. So I don't know if these kids were older and it doesn't really go into it.
But they did that a lot. Like the father went there with some kids, or probably just sent the kids without a parent. And
yeah, it sounds like that was the case. So these three other kids were already settled. In June 1920, Julia married Matthew Peta. Julia became pregnant soon after the wedding, but complications occurred. And on March 17th, 1921, Julia died while giving birth to her son, Filippo. Filippo also died. Oh. Italian tradition that dying in childbirth made the woman a type of a martyr. So Julia was buried in white, and not just any white, but she was buried in her wedding dress. Ooh. Her casket also served as the burial coffin for her dead infant, which was tucked into her arms. So aww, they were both laid to rest in the coffin together. So Julia's mom, Philomena Bukwala, she was extremely inconsolable over her daughter's death, understandably. Mm-hmm. Shortly after Julia was buried, her mom began to experience strange and terrifying dreams every night. In these nightmares, she envisioned Julia telling her that she was still alive and needed her help out of the coffin.
Oh, God.
For the next 6 years, these dreams plagued her, and she began trying, without success, to have her daughter's grave opened and her body exhumed.
6 years?
Yeah. She was unable to explain why she needed to do it, only that she knew she needed to. Finally, through persistence, her request was granted by a sympathetic judge, and he passed down an order for the body to be exhumed. Mm-hmm. So in 1927, 6 years after Julia's death, the casket was removed from the grave. When it was opened, Julia's body was found not to have decayed at all. It was said that her flesh was still as soft as it had been when she was buried or when she was alive. They took a photograph at the time when it was exhumed, and it shows Julia's incorruptible body in the casket. Philomena, her mom, had set out to raise money for a more elaborate tombstone. So the finished work would be a grandiose tribute to her dead daughter, which was the life-size sculpture of Julia in her wedding gown. Her mother and other admirers affixed the postpartum photo. So remember, when they exhumed her, they took a photo of her in that casket.
Is this it?
Yeah. That was 6 years after she'd been buried.
Right.
She still looks as fresh as a daisy. I mean,
that is so weird. That looks like a comfy casket, though.
They took that photo and they mounted it on the statue that they had built for her.
Mm-hmm, I see that.
And then below the image is the Italian phrase, presa dopo six anni Marta, which roughly translates to taken
sexy.
6 years. It translates roughly into taken 6 years after death. So that's how they were marking the date of when that photo was taken. So it's a photo of Julia in her bridal gown, which is creepy to me. I'm sorry, but it is. Yeah. So the postmortem photograph shows a body that appears to be fresh with no discoloration of the skin, even 6 years later. Mm-hmm. The coffin is rotted and decayed.
Inside? Outside? Does it say?
Outside. So it shows that, yes, this has been underground for 6 years. Or some, you know, sometimes.
Oh my God.
But it, when you look, they said when they looked at her, she just merely appeared to be sleeping.
That is so weird.
I know. Her family took the fact that she was found to be so well preserved as a sign from God. And so after collecting money from other family members and neighbors, they created that monument to stand over her grave today. What mysterious secret rests at the grave? How could her body have stayed in perfect condition after lying in the grave for 6 years?
Yeah. Oil of Olay.
Yes, yes. Pond's cold cream. Many devout Catholics in the neighborhood believed that Julia's incorruptibility meant that she was a saint. Skeptics scoffed at the idea, claiming that the postmortem photo must have been taken before she was originally buried. Although it wouldn't explain, if that were true, it wouldn't explain the condition of the casket or the decomposition of the infant that was nestled in her arms, because he was not looking
good.
That was
my question. Yeah.
Yeah.
wasn't looking photo worthy, huh?
No. Sorry, I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but.
No. Yeah. R.I.P.
Other people try to attribute this to something called, and I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but it's called adapser or adapiker, also known as corpse wax. So I guess it's a waxy substance consisting mainly of fatty acids and calcium soaps that form during decomposition of dead body fat in a moist, moist or wet condition. In other words, the shape and state of Julia's body was preserved by a natural process.
But why doesn't that happen to everybody?
It didn't happen to the baby, so that's why they're saying they don't believe in that. Of course, these explanations did little to dispel the local belief that Julia's preserved body was proof of a miracle.
Also, Illinois has some of the roughest weather.
Right.
So I can't imagine being in the ground with snow and then humidity and heat.
Yeah. So people were questioning this, then they were starting to question stories about her mother and the reality of her dream that she was having.
Fake news.
There were those who claimed that she fabricated the entire story as a restoration for a marriage of which she did not approve. She never liked Matthew Petta. The story is given some credence by the fact that Julia's married name does not appear on the grave monument. It's only Ukwala. But even if Philomena, her mother, lied about her nightmare to gain sympathy from the community and to help finance the building of the elaborate monument, how does this explain the postmortem photograph?
Right.
The photo of Julia in her casket 6 years after her death, and it appears to be very real. It has defied explanation for nearly a century.
So is she they reburied her?
Yes, and then they had that statue built.
Can we dig her up again?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that anyone would allow you and I to exhume a body under any circumstance.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. I don't want to dig her up.
Yeah.
But I would love to see, like, what does she look like now? Can, with our amazing forensics, can we find some more out about how this person was preserved so well?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that at this point in time, if you exhume that body, it is going to look like the bodies that washed up in the unfinished swimming pool of Poltergeist. That is a wild guess, but
maybe, or
did Julia take good care of herself when she was alive, stayed out of the sun, used that oil of Olay,
ate salads,
sunscreen, drink lots of water,
umbrellas. Big hats.
Yeah, right. She was fucking Italian. She was tan, drank lots of wine, ate lots of pasta.
Carbs and carbs.
But that's not the end of this odd part of the story.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Reports have been told over the years of a ghostly woman in white who has been seen wandering at the edge of the cemetery where she rests. Stories claim to have seen her in the daytime and at night, and many who know the story of Julia Petta believe that it is her restless spirit. Mm-hmm. One eerie tale that was told involved a young boy who was now this would fucking piss me off if I was the young boy. He was accidentally left behind at the cemetery. when his parents left, whoever he was there with, they left him behind at the cemetery. Like, how do you not get to know where your kids are? You're in a fucking cemetery.
What is wrong with people?
And he was left not far from her grave, from Julia's grave. When the family returned, it's sort of like Home Alone.
Yeah. Kevin! That's horrible.
When they returned to Mount Carmel Cemetery to look for him, they saw him holding the hand of a dark-haired young woman in a white dress. When the boy turned and ran towards his parents, the woman in white disappeared.
God damn.
And that, my friends, is the story of the Italian bride in Hillside, Illinois.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I am super interested to see if any of my Chicago peeps know anything about this.
Yes, please ask. I want to know what her skincare routine was, though. I mean, like, was there like fillers and Botox back then that she was getting?
Was it her whole body or was it?
I don't know if they took her dress off or not. I mean, just her face and hands alone would be enough for me to be like, how the fuck are you still looking this good 6 years after you died and you're in the ground?
That is amazing. Like, this isn't Michael Jackson in his
frozen
hermetic chamber or whatever it's called. Yeah. This is 1913, I think you said?
1920.
This is 1900.
And yeah, you little fucking Gen Zers, don't mistake the 1900s that we grew up in with the 1920 that this woman married and then died. So she was resumed in 1927. So yeah, still a long ass time ago.
Exhumed. Yeah.
What did I say? Resumed? Exhumed? Resumed. I mean, continue.
Kind of.
Continue.
She could have. I'm surprised she didn't sit up and was like, where's my wine?
I mean, it was like Weekend at Bernie's. They could have just propped her up and
I love that movie.
Put some shades on her and called it a day.
It is a very disrespectful thing to dig up somebody that is hopefully being
resting
in peace. But
yeah.
But man, if that happened, I would be so intrigued in what they could find out about. Because I even at this point, even if it looks like poltergeist swimming pool skeleton, I think that you could still find some interesting info about DNA.
And— oh, for sure. To be honest, I'm very surprised because they were a very Catholic family. Mm-hmm. I am very surprised that the mother, even though she was having these nightmares that she was having, that she would even want to have the body exhumed. Because, you know, a lot of Catholics, I mean, I was born and raised Catholic. I don't practice. There are some things that I do believe in, and there's a lot of things that I don't. I'm not a practicing Catholic, but I do know that a lot of Catholics, most Catholics, it's you're meant to be buried, not
cremated.
Mm-hmm. So it just surprises me that a devout Catholic would want to exhume this resting body.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're being tortured that much,
oh yeah,
then maybe it's that part of you that's like, there's a, you know, it's like that gut feeling.
Right. And if she's considered a saint because she hasn't decomposed and that you have to bring her out, see what's going on.
And just so you know, please don't, when I go, I'm Italian and Catholic, please don't let them bury me in white. Actually, I chose to be cremated, but
I chose to be cremated too. Good. I'm glad we have this on. Okay. So if Nick has not listened to me the last 10 years, 11 years we've been together. This is now being recorded. I would like to be cremated. You would like to be cremated.
It's in my estate, which you know you're in. So you have rules that you have to follow. I've already explained to you and Marcia, but they are in the book. We have this whole binder that they gave us in our estate, and it says what we want for things.
Rules? What kind of rules?
Like, well, like that I want to be cremated, estate and all that, like that's divvied up. All that banking stuff is there's rules on how that is to be handled.
Instructions.
Yes. Sorry, not rules, instructions. Rules. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I meant instructions. Sorry.
White shoes to my cremation.
And I would like people to come dressed in Halloween costumes. Not Michael Myers Halloween, just Halloween in general.
So witches, vampires.
Skeletons, you know, the classics.
Yes, I like it. I'll bring the cupcakes. Gluten-free.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, y'all have to eat gluten-free when I'm dead.
Oh, Dolly Parton, can we please get a shout out to Dolly Parton to make some gluten-free baking cake?
It's so adorable looking. It reminds me of Barbie.
It just looks like it tastes good because it's made by Dolly Parton.
And the two flavors, the banana one looks delicious. And then there's the coconut one. I mean,
it's like her southern roots.
Well,
right?
Because she said, I don't know if you watched the video of her talking about it, but she says growing up, they did this like banana pudding type bread thing. And so she decided to use that as a flavor. Even if I am not going to be able to eat it, which I'm not, the frosting I might be able to have, but the cake part I can't. I still want a box and a frosting thing just because I think they're so, I don't know where I'm going to put it, but I think they're adorable. It reminds me of Barbie, which I love. It's just so, it's Dolly. It's fucking Dolly.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Why did it take this long? She should have had this years ago.
It shouldn't just be limited edition either.
No, keep going on.
Comes out in March, so gotta keep my eyes out for it.
Maybe a gluten freeze on the horizon. Maybe you have a shot.
That would be nice.
I'll write her a letter.
Thanks.
I got all kinds of letters to write, so I'll include that in.
Oh my goodness.
Well, maybe we'll have a follow-up on The Italian Bride.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into it some more. And if Jason finds out anything, maybe he'll find out some more local folklore, you know, about it.
Yes.
It's just like, there's just certain things that make me want to go places just to see these things that we talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sleep tight.
Make sure you leave the lights on.
Also, I just want to say, aside from leaving your lights on, please don't leave your children in the cemetery. Don't forget them.
Right. What?
Okay. That's all. That's all I have to say.
Go to FreakyFridaysPodcast.com and subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast listening platform.
Join us next week for a new freaky tale.